Jim Bell was supposed to be here as guest, but he couldn't find a good phone, couldn't get a good phone in a New York hotel, neither in his room nor the business area of the hotel. That alone is something to contemplate. In the meantime, no problem. We're doing open lines, and anything you want to talk about is fair game. I am soliciting those who have made a deal with the devil and yet find one. Even one. Now, remember, screener, if you find one, put down devil or deal with devil or something so that I will know and be able to jump to that line instantly. But thus far, in 1 hour of searching, we have not found one person who's made a deal with the devil, and I know you're out there. As Father Martin used to say, so many perfectly possessed walking the streets, he could see them, he could recognize them as he passed them in the street. So you all are out there, you just don't talk a lot. We'll be back in a moment. You see, my screen does not perhaps update as often as it should, so I missed Wildcard Line 3, which apparently has somebody who has made a deal with the devil. Hello there.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm okay. And your first name is?
I'm Chris.
You're Chris. And Chris, where are you?
I'm calling from Glassboro, New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. Well, land where many people have made deals with the devil, to be sure. So, what kind of deal did you strike up?
Well, that's you mentioned earlier that it may not be like a contractual deal, but a deal that you make yourself, as in,
no,
in your
absolutely.
Mind.
It's just something you can say in your mind. You can say, look, let's find out what you did say. So you kind of made a deal in your mind. What was your situation when you made the deal?
Well, as you sort of mentioned, I was, without going into too much detail, I was sort of down on the way things were going, and it was sort of that, and I was kind of unpleasantly surprised because, as we'll get to in a minute, because I never thought that that anything would actually happen, and, you know, it sort of didn't work out that way. But, so what happened was, it was a quiet night, and I'm just sitting there, and I started to think in my head, What if I, you know, sold my soul? And
yes.
Well, now I said, what the hell? And I really I'd rather not say the entire thing verbatim again, if you don't mind, because really wasn't too pleasant the first time, but.
Listen to me now. Just your repeating it does not constitute doing the deal again, so you don't have to worry about that. You can tell us what you said.
Well, that's a good point. All right, Art. I said, if life would pick up, if the misery would stop, I will sell my soul. And
yes.
I didn't think anything would really happen, but as the days went on and I started to notice things were little things that to start that would just suddenly go my way. Like I'm a pretty compulsive gambler, and all of a sudden started winning very large sums of money, and I couldn't explain it. I'd never had any sort of luck, and all of a sudden, you know,
there it was, just being dumped right in your lap. Yes.
Yes, more or less, and even, you know, with relationships and things, and, you know, I started getting involved with a woman not too long after that either, and, you know, I hate to say it, but maybe fortunately or unfortunately for me, my life has taken a turn for the better since the proverbial deal was made.
Yes, yes. Yes, and I'm sure that as you get comfortable with your winnings and your women, at some point you think back and you say to yourself, oh, my God, I did make that deal, and now it's going better. Is there a way I can take it back?
Well, more or less, and that sort of brings up a question that I'd like to pose to you, Art. A contractual agreement would have to be one where both parties would agree to terms, wherein if I say that I will sell my soul, then someone will have to be there on the other end to finalize the deal. Would you agree with that?
I would, yes.
Well, then the question that I mean, I've been asking myself pretty much over and over is this a deal that I made, or is it more just a psychological thing?
Because... Sounds like a deal to me, buddy.
Well,
sorry, it does. I mean, if you say this in your mind, that you are willing to, for a better life, and obviously your life has improved, sell your soul to the devil, I would say you sold your soul to the devil. Now, is there any way to modify or cancel this contract? I doubt it.
So I'm in for the long haul, am I? That's not...
Well, I'm sure. I mean, you know, Christians say that there is forgiveness for everything. So I guess you could hang on to that if you want to. But my feeling is that a deal is a deal is a deal.
Even if the other side of the deal wasn't exactly...
vocal?
Vocal or present, if you would say, at the time of the deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, you weren't vocal either. I mean, you said all this in your head, basically, right?
That's true. But that also brings to the point, was there ever a deal? Because when I think deal and the contemporary thinking of what a deal is, you know, a signed contract. And obviously there is nothing like that has ever transpired. So has a deal really been made?
Well, if you feel comfortable in the fact that you don't have an actual signed contract, then if it comforts you, that's good. But I mean, I really think a deal's a deal. So I guess, you know, at the appropriate moment, you'll find out.
Yeah, I suppose.
In the meantime, I would just say enjoy life.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that, but at the same time, you know, doesn't make these enjoyments half as sweet as they would be, because now I think, well, is it me who is doing
it? Well, all right, let me try this question on you. Would you say that the difference in your life after you made the deal was so drastic that it made you believe you really did cut the deal?
At certain times, yes. At certain times, yes. I mean, there are times when pretty much I try to go through things in my mind to try to assure myself that it hasn't happened, but I'm not so sure some of the time, and it really is a scary thing. And as you said, to think that maybe, you know, there is no recourse, that maybe this is what it is, and that's it. I hope that's...
Well, I wish you luck, and what you can hang on to, I guess, is the Christian belief that there is forgiveness for everything. I personally don't believe that. Now, I'd like to be more encouraging here, but...
I would like you to be, too, actually.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, Art. I love you. Don't worry about it.
You enjoy life, buddy.
Yeah, you do the same, and love the show.
All right. Thank you very, very much for the call and for having the Cohenies to come on here and say you made the deal. No, I know, and it's one of the difficult propositions in the Christian world that I do have trouble with. If you have done something evil or wrong, really bad, I don't have the understanding for how you can, for example, if you're Catholic, let's say, go into confession and walk away clean. You know, if you Hail Marys and whatever all and walk away clean. I can't in my own mind buy into that. It may well be true, but I just am unable to buy into that everything is forgiven. You can even murder. You can do this. You can do that, and then be forgiven if you have proper contrition. I've sort of never bought that. I've always felt that there is going to be retribution for whatever it is that you have done. So I don't know what to say, sir. Sounds like you've struck a deal. Sounds like it's working out the way you had hoped. And it sounds like you're having some reservations about what you did. First time caller line, Dan in Indiana. You're on the air.
How you doing, Art?
I'm okay, sir.
All right. I want to tell you about an experience I had. And actually, I want to know if you've ever heard anything like this, or if any of your listeners have heard this. I'm a big skeptic when it comes to supernatural things. Mm-hmm. And I had something that kind of shook me a bit. And then I had another experience that actually opened my eyes. What happened was, back in 2002, early that year, I was laying in bed with my wife, asleep, deep, sound asleep. And I get this feeling that something's watching me. And it's not like watch, like a glance. It's kind of like I'm being studied. Something's really strongly looking at me. I wake up because it's that strong. And I immediately look over into the direction of the edge of the bed. And I see the head. It's like an older lady. But the face is completely green. And I don't
green?
See the body.
Did you say green?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I don't see a body at all. I'm not saying there wasn't one. I just don't see it. I focused on the head. And the head is about a foot away from me, eye level, with me laying down.
God, a green, lonely head.
Well, it obviously freaks me out. So I push away from it. And so I bump into my wife. I look over at her, and I look back. The strange thing about this, and what I remember clearly, is that this head... this face was just a shock to see that I was awake. It was like I shouldn't have woke up. And the head slowly starts backing away and raising up as if almost into a standing position. I look at my wife and I look back, and the head is still raising up. I look back at her again because I hit her pretty hard. And now she's looking at me, and I look back, the head's gone.
No, wait a minute. You hit who hard? Your wife?
I bumped into her. My wife.
Bumped into her. Okay, so by now she's awake, right?
Right, she's awake, and the head is gone.
Is she seeing the green head?
She did not see it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, first I knew I saw it, and I'm convinced. As a year or two passed, I'm thinking, I dreamed it. I know I dreamed it. I might have been in that state of half-consciousness until this happened. Last year, a friend of mine gives me a call, and he's almost a lifelong friend. We went to school together, and we just had a random conversation. And then he says this to me. He goes, Dan, I've never told anyone this. Back when I was 10 years old, he said, I know my dad's house was haunted. He said, back when I was 10 years old, I got this real strong feeling while I was asleep that something was watching me. I wake up and I look over and I see the green head of an old lady watching me. And that did it.
Sure it did.
I'm just wondering, has anybody else ever told you about something like this, or have you ever heard anything about this?
Not about a green head, but what we'll do is toss it out to the audience, Dan. It's very interesting. What one aspect of your story, though, is familiar to me, and that is that whether it's a green head of an old lady, or it's a shadow person, or some other form of spirit, the fact that the spirit, when it realizes it is being seen, is as surprised or more surprised or shocked than you, is a recurring theme. Very much a recurring theme. We're hearing that again and again and again and again. And it's almost as though something, some other dimensional entity, or, you know, I don't know the right words to use. We really don't know whether it's a ghost, whether it's something from another dimension, extraterrestrial, whatever it is. They seem to be under the working assumption that they cannot be seen by us. And when they are, when they realize that they're seen, they are suddenly more shocked than we are. And that's very much a recurring theme. So there's certainly something going on. As usual, Coast to Coast AM is a little ahead of the curve. The rest of the world in reporting or even being willing to talk about a subject like this. So I think you're on to something. I think you're all on to something. Those of you who have said that these entities are shocked when they realize we can see them, there's something to it. All right, let's go to Wildcard Line 1. Wesley in Iowa apparently has made some sort of deal with the devil. In fact, may even be a Satanist. Is that correct, Wesley?
Yep, that's absolutely correct. It's an honor to talk to you, Art Bell. Okay, I'm a Satanist. My wife introduced me to it. We first came into the, I don't know if you've heard of Anton LaVey.
Anton LaVey, yes, of course.
Yeah, well, she introduced me to the Anton LaVey type Satanism first, and I was very interested from the start. I've met people that were Satanists before, and I was just really impressed by it. And I did make a deal with the devil in a sense. I actually offered him my soul, but what he told me was, I don't want your soul. I just want your allegiance. And I was completely convinced, you know.
Well, yeah, but Wesley, those who give their allegiance to the devil ultimately give their soul, don't they?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, I'm not afraid.
And then, wait a minute, you mentioned that your wife was a Satanist, apparently, before you met her?
Technically, no, because she was kind of like an atheist agnostic when I met her.
Oh, yeah, but that's a big jump, Wesley, from being agnostic or even an atheist to being a Satanist. That's a big jump.
Actually, the jump got even bigger because she used to be Christian. Then she became kind of like searching for another religion. And she turned to Satanism, and it appealed to her, and she introduced me to it. I was actually born and raised an atheist.
How did she bring that up? I mean, were you just sitting around one evening, and she said, hey, listen, honey, I'm in league with the devil now, and I'll tell you all about it, and you can join me if you want. Is that how it happened?
Yeah. It's kind of, she was like, you know, hey, I'm a Satanist. I'm like, oh. And she sent me an internet link. We were talking online because we were dating online at first. We're now married.
Oh, so she told you this online.
Yeah.
So you had a moment there where you could make a decision to run like hell, but you didn't.
No, I was fascinated by it. I wanted to know more about it. The more I got to know about it, the more interested I got. And I'm actually communicating with the devil or Satan, whatever you want to call it. And I've gone to a lot of websites, especially one in particular. I'm not going to mention it because...
don't mention the name of the website. But you're telling me you talk to Satan, and Satan talks back to you.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what it is exactly. It's kind of like talking to God in a sense, you know, but it's... what I found out from a lot of sources and from myself as well is that he lives in a four-dimensional plane, like in a, which is kind of like, if you ever heard of four density.
No.
Like we're supposed to move into four density and become something bigger in like 2012.
Well, I've heard that there are many who believe there's going to be a big shift, of course, in 2012, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Wesley, we're at a break point here. Can I have you hold on through the break?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. By the way, is your wife there?
Yeah.
She is there. Would she be willing to say something on the radio?
I'm sure she would.
During the break, no. Hold on. We'll talk to her after the break. It's break time. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Wanna take a ride? You got to be careful about rides you accept, you know. That long black hearse, it'll get you from here to there, but oh, it's a hell of a ride. Alrighty then. This is beginning to get quite interesting. Let's bring back Wesley. Wesley, are you there?
Well, his wife is now. Sorry.
Oh, there you are.
Yep, he handed me the phone.
Oh, good. What is your first name?
Josie.
I'm sorry, say again?
Josie.
Josie?
Yep.
Josie. Josie, you went from being Christian to agnostic to, all the way then to the devil. Is that, is it really the devil? Is it Lucifer? Are you a Satanist?
Well, yeah, we're kind of people always say, oh, you're probably just some gothic kid because you're a Satanist and want attention. And it's not that way. We don't follow all of LaVey's preachings. I mean, yeah, he was a good guy. He came up with a lot of great ideas, but when I first became a Satanist, I did follow his preachings, but then I kind of evolved and looked into spiritual Satanism more.
Well, let's find out how long this has been. How old are you now?
I am 24.
24. And when did you make the conversion to Satanism?
Around 18.
Around 18. Well, that's quite a while. And then you met your husband online.
Yes.
And you went through the usual what's your sign thing, and then you got down to, and oh, by the way, I'm a Satanist. How did he react when you told him?
I usually ask people, do you have a religion? You know, when I'm talking to someone online, hey, do you got a religion?
Sure.
And then they'll say, yeah, I'm this or that. And he said, well, I'm kind of atheist. Basically, he was raised atheist. So I said, well, and then he asked the rhetorical question, do you have a religion? And I said, well, yeah, but I don't want you to get scared. I'm a Satanist. I mean, we don't sacrifice babies, don't drink blood.
You don't drink blood?
No.
No. Look, an atheist, I just don't understand how you make that leap. An atheist doesn't believe in anything. An atheist thinks you die and then that's it, baby. It's blackness and good sleep or whatever, but, you know, no consciousness whatsoever after life. So wouldn't it be as difficult to go from being an atheist to a Christian as it would be to go from an atheist to being a believer in the devil?
Yeah, well, he wasn't, I guess you wouldn't call him your typical atheist. I mean, he believes in a soul and that there is life after death, you know.
Oh, well, that's not an atheist.
Okay, agnostic, sorry.
That might be an agnostic, yeah.
Yeah, because he believes that there is something more, but doesn't really know a name for it.
Yeah, that's pushing the agnostic barrier a little bit. In other words, he believed in a higher power.
Right.
And he believed he had a soul.
Right.
So how did you charm him into, moving to the dark side?
I just told him what I was, and then he asked me to explain it, so I explained it the best I could. And I said, well, here, look at this link. It'll tell you more than I know. And then he got interested and read more and more and liked it more and more. And we talked about it.
Yes.
You know, the whole we don't sacrifice kids, animals. Drink blood, all the common misconceptions.
Okay, those are the things you don't do. What do you do?
It's like take Christianity and you know how you thank God for whatever, for having no holes in your socks or...
yeah, sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically, they believe God is great and he was a creator of man. Well, in a sense, we believe Satan was.
I see.
And
you thank Satan for what you get in life.
Right.
Now, do you think that Satan is a more powerful force on earth, able to give you more in life than is God?
I really don't know for sure, but I guess I've always been the black sheep in a sense, you know.
Mm.
Everyone is devoutly Christian in my family.
Have you, come out of the dark closet with regard to your family? You've told them you're a Satanist?
Well, yeah, my mom doesn't like it. She said, well, I'm still going to pray for you every night. And it's like, Mom.
I bet that didn't go over well at all.
No, and it's like, Mom, how would you like me to pray for you to the devil? I don't want you to pray for me to your God.
Oh, I see.
I mean, you can say, I'll think
That's
of
a good
you.
Point. So you threatened to pray to the devil for her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there's this whole lack of respect. I mean, they think everyone wants to be prayed for. I'll pray for you. Well, you know what? What if I don't believe in God? I will just say, you know what? I'll be thinking of you and ask me if I want you to pray to God for me.
Now, do you think that Wesley honestly believes as you believe, or do you think that he was just sort of wowed into Satanism because of your feminine charms?
I honestly think that he believes because he seems to have a stronger link with Satan and our protector demons than I do.
Oh. Well, has Satan provided well in life for you?
Yes. I believe he provided us with each other. Because we were both at that point in our life, we're like, you know what? Forget the opposite sex. We're just so frustrated with it. And then we met each other.
So many bad experiences. And then
right.
and then through the power of the devil, you met, and you're living happily ever after.
I suppose.
Hmm.
Minus health factors. Well,
okay. Don't you worry just a little bit about, you know, I mean, life is short, right?
Right.
So at the end of this life, do you expect to go to a different destination than some of the others?
Honestly, no. And
no?
If I do, I don't care.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I'm going to quote my husband here. He's a brilliant man because, I mean, he comes up with so many things. I mean, he talks about how the souls are, like, we're twin souls, I guess you would say.
Soulmates.
No, it's different than soulmates. We were once were a soul, one soul, and then we split into a separate soul, or each separate souls,
uh-huh.
and then reincarnated into these bodies.
Well, what about the old traditional hellfire and brimstone and, you know, all of that? I mean, that's a pretty rough thing to face as a possibility after death.
Yeah, but I don't worry too much about that. I mean, hell is a mythical place, and as is heaven. And so how are you going to have that your ethereal soul, or erisa, whatever the word is, soul be tortured and punished for all eternity?
No. Well, but wait a minute. But you do believe in the devil, right?
Right.
So on the one hand, you're saying you believe in the devil. On the other, you're saying hell and heaven are both mythical places, implying they're not real. Is that so?
Right, and they're both mythical places, but I mean, it's just, I don't believe that, you know, we're going to get, like, sent to hell just because.
Well, where else do you think you're going?
Well, for one, the devil, I believe, is everywhere.
Well, I think I probably agree with that, yes.
I mean, you look at a tree, and some people might see God. Other people might see some ancient spirit from some other religion.
I mean, what do you imagine, Motel 666 or what?
No, I just kind of imagine, or how we kind of both believe that when it's over, we kind of just go to a collective waiting room, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
where you kind of hang out with other people who have also passed over.
Yes.
And that there's no fire, brimstone, or clouds and harps.
But again, I don't see how you can avoid that belief and believe in Lucifer, in the devil. If the devil is real, then he's the number one fallen angel, the real bad guy, the anti-God.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that what awaits you is not what awaits those who believe in God. Or maybe I'm the one who's mixed up. I don't know.
Well, from what I have heard from Satan myself is that I'm not going to be, if I go to hell,
yes,
I'm not going to be one of the ones who are tortured. I'm going to be kind of one of his henchmen or henchwomen, if you will.
Ah, the devil's assistant.
Right. Like, you know, hey, go get assistants. Those chains.
And okay. Then do you think you could have some influence on him with regard to the fate of Wesley?
The devil?
Yeah. In other words, if you're going to be the devil's assistant when you pass, then what about Wesley? Is he also going to be, you know, sort of privileged down there?
I think so.
Hmm.
I mean, we've both done our little dabbling in the Ouija board when I was like 13.
Oh.
I asked the Ouija board with my friends, and I said, is anybody here the devil's advocate kind of thing, assistant? And
God, that was a great movie.
The planchette thing turned directly to me.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Have the two of you had any, have you spawned yet? Have you had a baby yet?
No, we were told we're going to have the Antichrist.
If you that you would have the Antichrist if you propagate.
Yeah, apparently that's what I was told by Satan.
Ah, so then do you plan to avoid that, are you looking forward to the little Antichrist?
I'm looking forward to it.
Really?
Yeah, and we're even thinking about the name Damien at some point.
Damien, of course.
That was a good movie too.
You don't have two phones in the house, do you? I mean, we can't get Wesley on the phone at the same time, can we?
No, I'm on the cell phone.
Oh, you're on a cell phone, okay.
Right.
Well, so then you and Wesley are equally committed, you would say.
Right, yeah.
Hmm. When do you plan on having, little Wesley, or little Damien, excuse me?
Preferably when we get our life settled, you know, like better emotional stability. Because like right now I'm trying to recover from my self-mutilation problem.
Self-mutilation problem.
Right.
aren't you at all concerned that self-mutilation might be, well, I don't know, sort of a, you know, a symptom of your belief system?
I don't know. I think it has more to do with the fact of my major depressive disorder.
Hmm.
And.
Okay. Well, do you think that you will ever give this up and turn to the light?
I really don't know. I mean, I'm keeping an open mind, which my mom is happy about, you know. If she sends me emails about God and stuff, I read them. I don't just delete them right away. I'll read them, but if you get the kind of crap that, okay, if you don't pass this on, you're going to have 7 million years of bad luck, then okay, sorry, bye.
Yeah, I don't know about those things either.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, you and Wesley, take care and try and cut down on the self-mutilation thing. That's not good.
I haven't done it since August, so.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. All right, well, listen, say hi to Wesley for me, and
okay.
I wish you all good luck.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you take care, and obviously that was very real. Now, you see, you call for things and you get them on this program. There you had it. Couple devoted to the dark side. Speaking of that, let's go all the way to Florida. And the first time caller line, we've got somebody here, Stuart, apparently, who wants to offer his soul for something or another. What's the deal, Stuart?
Yes, that is correct. And thank you for taking my call, Art.
Certainly.
Before I get to that offer, though, I was wondering if you might be able to verify his story for me.
I can try.
Well, you mentioned you had you lived in Okinawa at one point.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I have a friend who was stationed there some time ago, and he swears to me that in typhoons along the beach there, that he's seen some of the local men be able to fly 4 and 5 feet off of the ground, right, above the sand there. It's how often?
Well, in a big enough typhoon, I can assure you, you can actually run down a hill and you can become airborne. Now, it's not a particularly safe practice. I've tried it myself. You can actually become airborne. I used to run down hills during hurricanes in Connecticut, my grandma's house, with an umbrella. And I would actually become airborne.
Very nice.
It usually didn't work out very well.
No, but he swore that he's seen it on the beach there, right along the water, in a typhoon.
Never saw it, Stuart.
No. Well, no. In any case, along the lines of asking for things here,
yes.
I actually have an offer to make to you this evening.
Well, I'm not the devil, so you can't make it to me.
No, I understand that, but you can actually take part in this for me.
Well, I don't know about that. Yes?
Well, I have a son who is he's in a band out of Athens, Georgia.
Yes.
He shares a birthday with Elvis, David Bowie, and one of the Doors, January 8th.
Yes.
And I'm willing to offer up my soul this evening if your engineers will download one of his songs that is my space page, and if they deem it worthy and you deem it worthy, play
Stuart.
It on air.
Stuart, that's not a good deal.
Why is that?
Well, it's just not a good deal. I mean, just to get a song played, to offer your soul, that's not. You've got to shoot higher.
Well, no, I believe in him that much. That's strong.
Got to shoot much higher than that. I mean, you've got to go for like number one on the Billboard charts or something.
Well, this would be the first step to it.
Well, there'd be no guarantee that it would go any further.
No, I mean, absolutely not.
You just can't cut a deal like that. I mean, your soul's worth more.
It is. I agree. But can I mention their name?
No. No, I'm afraid not. No. All right, you're very welcome. And I just don't know what to say about that. I mean, to sell your soul to have a record played is just absolutely ridiculous. Song played, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Let's jump to Ray on the second wildcard line. Ray apparently almost sold his soul for something or another. Ray?
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
Talked to George before, never talked to you. It was last spring, and everything has been kind of going bad for a while and stuff like that. And I was sitting around, I'd probably listening to one of these shows, one of the Coast to Coast shows about selling your soul to the devil.
I've only done one other show like this, Ray. So, and one other time I did this, that was it.
Well, I don't know when this idea came into my head, but you know, I had to go somewhere and a buddy picked me up, a professional buddy, and you know, I said, "Hey, I'm thinking about selling my soul to the devil."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Really?" Well, yeah. As I said, God's never done anything for me. Why don't I just sell my soul to the devil?
In return for what, Ray?
Well, the thing is that I am a firm believer in the Creator and stuff, and you know, and in return for, let me think here. It wasn't for anything in particular except for improvement of life.
Oh my God! Well, you don't lightly sell your soul. You want to lay out the conditions. You want to have something.
I didn't. We were making jokes. My friend's an agnostic. See,
you don't joke about this kind of. Hey, Ray, can you hold on through the break?
Sure.
All right. Hold on, Ray. Talking about people sold their soul, and there's no shortage of them from the Philippines. I'm Art Bell.